This is Blake Corum, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier and the Trash Man, as we're getting ready to head into a big weekend of fantasy football drafts. If you have your drafts this weekend, best of luck to you. You're not going to need luck, though, if you have the ultimate draft cheat sheet from RosterWatch.com. Cody and I have been testing these things maniacally. We have more tests that are going to be happening today with updates to come this afternoon to the sheet. And we were just talking off air about this, something we're going to kind of discuss with you guys, and something that sort of came up yesterday that feels like it's in the fantasy football sphere right now, and something that people are talking about. But beforehand, we have to remind you again, it's the ultimate draft cheat sheet at RosterWatch.com. It's the biggest weekend of drafts coming up, so we have to tell you guys that's where we got to make hay while the sun shines, right? So now's the time, man. We have to tell you about the ultimate draft cheat sheet. It's the only tool that you'll need this draft season. Follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper. An expert quality draft is always guaranteed. And again, updated constantly as you are getting ready for your drafts. Unless it's running good. Sometimes I've noticed, Cody, I mean, if it's running good and I update it just to update it, I end up feeling tilted. So, I mean, it's constantly tested. And if something gets off kilter with new ADPs coming up, that's when we'll get changes. And there, the bit of news, and I'm not sure if it's news or whether it's like people are really overreacting to the, or I don't know. Sean McVay comes out and says that Kyren Williams is going to be returning punts.
Oh, and that's the news, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're talking about a guy that's going, I mean,
Trashman's not on Twitter.
Trashman doesn't happen.
Trashman doesn't get overconsumed with this stuff because he doesn't.
There's some other breaking news.
Which is the Cowboys
backfield potentially.
No, well, who cares about Dalvin? I mean, my God, would they sign Dalvin to the practice squad? Who cares, dude? That guy. Talk about the dustiest room, man. This is important with Kyren because look, he's been in a spot where I've been a little bit hesitant to take him where he goes right now. And I just wonder, man, do you have your bell cow back returning punts? And I know that people on Twitter and X, whatever, really overreact to stuff all the time. But it's like a nuclear bomb went off in fantasy. We're having people tweeting us saying, do these new cheat sheets reflect the Kyren Williams news, all this stuff? Trash Man, you saw him at camp, at least at joint practices. And that was more recently than Byron saw them out there in L.A. What did you think of him when you saw him down there in Houston? Before the third preseason.
He was a clear number one. Blake Corum did get action with the first team, but Kyren was the clear number one. I did see him return kicks. Didn't Le'Veon Bell return kicks for the Steelers back in his day?
I don't remember. Not kicks. Maybe
Antonio returned to punts. I don't think he returned to kicks. I think that was like Wheaton. And like guys like that.
I don't think Bell did that. I can't think. It's a weird thing. I think it's a little bit weird.
Mike Clay tweeted out the crack of dawn this morning that Kyren handled 100% of the Rams punt returns during week 1 through 3 last season. At the same exact time, he played 86% of the offensive snaps, had 39 carries and 19 targets during that span. He was then removed from punt returns to help facilitate a feature back role and will likely be scaled back offensively a bit in 2024. This is Mike Clay's thoughts. He says, good, B, young, C, positioned for a sizable role, and D, in a good offense. Field DH replied, Kyren or Carson Steele, half PPR.
So people are saying that this is going too far. I mean, you wonder with the news about With AJ Dillon's going to be out for the season and stuff. I think Josh Jacobs is in a really good, I mean, it brings up a conversation. It's like, should we be taking Josh Jacobs over Kyren? You know, it's the kind of question that you can be asking. And now using the cheat sheet, you might,
it really confuses people because sometimes if you use the cheat sheet, it's not going to, it's, it, we'll still probably have Kyren over, over Josh Jacobs simply because Kyren Williams' ADP right now is 15 overall, whereas Josh Jacobs is sitting at 28 overall. So it would be like if you got Josh Jacobs over Kyren Williams, it would mean every team would have Josh Jacobs. You'd be taking Josh Jacobs whenever you could be taking a wide receiver and another running back there when you can get Jacobs in the third round, right? We're not going to move him up into the second round just so we get him, right? But you can move him. This is how the cheat sheet works, right? It's leverage versus ADP. So I'm not saying we need to necessarily get him above Kyren, although, gosh, I almost wouldn't mind doing that at this point based on where I have these guys positioned. I was just curious to hear from you guys about whether or not you think it's a giant deal, whether you think it's some kind of deal. I mean, it's obviously something that we have to take into account. I just wanted to, I mean, rather do it here on the pod and let people listen to us than just, you know, text each other.
Honestly, I think it just, it brings up the necessity to handcuff him maybe with Corum, knowing that like he's the insurance.
Well, yeah, I'd optimally not like to.
You don't like to build in a, you don't like to build that in, but I mean, we have been getting Corum.
Yeah.
I would say probably at a higher rate than we have been getting Kyren.
Oh, on the PPR sheet. Yes. Yeah. Because on the PPR sheet, I favor Devon Achane in that kind of area, you know?
Yeah.
And then I know that I know you feel differently on the standard and half point PPR, but I mean, I'm going with the nuclear upside of an Achane.
The adjustment I made, and we talked about it last night, and Byron had some thoughts on it. And basically what I ended up doing in half, and Trashman, I'd like to hear what you think about this. So where Kyren was at was below Etienne and Henry, and then it was Kyren, which would be running back number 8. And then it was Pacheco, Gibbs, Jacobs, White, Achane. Now it's Henry, Pacheco, Jacobs, Gibbs, White, Williams, Achane. So I have White. Sorry, I have Kyren below White, below Gibbs, and below Jacobs on the sheet.
Yeah, I don't know if here's the thing. Whenever you say it like that, Cody, it's like it's kind of that's the people it's, might understand, but it's like it
does sound pretty unless, severe.
And unless we can test it though, like unless I can test that, like as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about ADPs, and so it's like unless I can test it and know where the
correct the ADP doesn't make any sense at the current stage, right? Where a lot of the conversation that we had last night was built in projection of the next four or five days of drafts, saying that this news and the thing is like Trashman, good question right here because you're not really on Twitter as much, I would say, as you know, a big chunk of people. So you're going to go into a draft this weekend. What's your thoughts on Kyren Williams? Like, how do you digest that punt return stuff? Because it's like Byron's worried he's gonna fall like a round and a half, two rounds.
Well, I think in the first place, Corum was added to that offense because there was no depth behind Kyren Williams.
I get that. I get it, but dude, I mean,
like Kyren Williams is still the lead back there, and they still like Kyren Williams. I just think, like, unlike most other situations, I'm actually investing in the his handcuff.
Okay, I get it. I understand, but it's a cop out, trash me to say just handcuff him because we're not. Of course, it'd be fine if you take him. It's fine to handcuff him. I get it. That's not the question. The question is, in round one, you take Amon-Ra St. Brown at the 105, and then you are staring down the barrel of a choice between Marvin Harrison Jr., Kyren Williams, Derrick Henry, Travis Etienne.
Correct.
Who are you taking?
I'm probably taking Etienne there or Harrison. I'm probably going zero running back.
Wait, so all right, so that's a good, all right, so you're probably going with those guys. Okay, what about Pacheco? What about when you get to like Devontae Adams and Drake London and stuff, Chris Olave? Are you taking Kyren Williams or those guys?
I'm taking Pacheco over Williams.
Okay.
I'm taking the upside of London over Williams.
Okay, so you believe that Kyren Williams should be a third round pick at this point. That's the plain and simple of it. And so now if you think that, and we're talking about Trash Man, who just doesn't even look at ADP, he just goes into drafts. He goes into
and I dominate them. You saw the draft this weekend.
Which is,
which in totality, Alex, is one of the greatest pieces right here that we can possibly have, because we're trying to defeat ADP and we're going with, you have to realize that a lot of these guys that are going to be drafting in their home leagues are, you know, like last weekend, I went back to Minnesota and my uncle's in like two home leagues and they're all 60 years old. And they all got printed out sheets that they printed 5 days ago. They're outdated. Right. And that's what these guys are doing. So they're going in there with this prior knowledge and this prior thought. And if they didn't see this overblown, you know, steamy Twitter drama of Kyren Williams being a punt returner and overreading it, like, you got to have an initial thought. And Trashman's initial thought is that he probably should be around the London area, which is the third round.
Yeah. And Jacobs. It's kind of around Jacobs.
Well, I would, I mean, I got Jacobs.
Because Jacobs, right. But you understand what I'm saying though, right? Yeah. It's like, I think, honestly, the way that I've come around to where I think that these builds are best, I kind of want to come out of the first two rounds with two of these running backs. And then, you know, just if I can get two of these running backs, maybe one of these wide receivers, right? If it's, because then I can blitz through rounds four, five, and six with sometimes Cooper Kupp will fall to the fourth, but Jalen Waddle often will. Malik Nabers will always be there in the fifth. If he's not, you can get Devontae Smith. And then in the sixth right now in home leagues, you can get Rashee Rice. Right. And if you can't get Rashee Rice, you can get Tank Dell. You can get one of these other guys. Right. I mean, you're talking about having those guys as your wide receiver three and four ish type of player. And you can go stud RB at the very beginning. To me, it feels like that's the way to build it rather than to reach for these. You know, when we talked about the Olave, I mean, I like Olave in London. I don't like Devontae Adams. Right. And it's like, if I can't get one of these super, super top dudes, I'm going to get these running backs early and I'm going to smash like rounds like three, four, five, and sometimes six. Yeah. Sometimes you could sneak in like a T Higgins, George Pickens, Terry McLaurin, Christian Kirk, that type of player. And after you get your, even if you go like, let's just say you go, some kind of, Garrett Wilson, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, right? And then you can go Cooper Kupp, or no, say the, then after that you can go Waddle, Nabers, Rashee. How sick do you feel about that, man? Then you start backfilling your in round seven or so, you just start backfilling with Javonte Williams, the Tony Pollard types, all the rest of it. Man, the thing kind of builds itself. Of course, if you use the draft cheat sheet, it's going to walk you through. It's going to tell you who to pick in every round. Not every draft's going to fall like this, but it's a general structure that I like. So with that being said, at that round three-ish turn, at the end of the second, or more like the beginning of the third, Trashman, it feels like what you're saying is that the players that are built in on the wide receiver side to be able to be part of those builds, you view as pretty consistent with Kyren Williams. And some of them, like Drake London, you like more than Kyren Williams. Therefore, as somebody who's is just coming into the draft as a good player.
I like the potential there with the Kirk Cousins.
I'm saying if you're thinking this, then players that are keeping up with the news are dropping Kyren Williams right now. And Cody's uncle back in Minnesota is not, because he has the magazine from a couple weeks ago. And so those are just things that we need to account for. These are the things that we need to account for. I think for the actual show today, now that we're already more than halfway through, we were going to talk about breakout candidates and late round fantasy guys we're taking in the late rounds. We've already talked about Blake Corum. Cody, do you want to start us out with one of your late round targets?
I'll start out. Got a handful of them. I know Trashman's got a handful of them as well.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
I think I'll start with a guy we've talked about a couple of times, and he's currently going off 147th overall in half, wide receiver 55. the discrepancy across platforms does need to be noted here. His ADP on Yahoo's 199. His ADP on Sleeper is 138. RTS Sports is 129. That's Josh Palmer in Los Angeles. We've seen Brendan Rice make the roster, Quentin Johnston make the roster, Ladd McConkey's obviously there, but the one thing that stays the same in Los Angeles, unlike very many things, is that Justin Herbert's still there and Josh Palmer's still there. And as the offseason has gone on, I've lent more and more and more into the Josh Palmer side of things rather than Ladd McConkey. I think McConkey's going to be just fine. But I'm reminded that going through the pre-draft process that, you know, I did see Ladd McConkey in person at the pro day, and he's very sick. And he's a very good route runner. But he also got hurt a multitude of times at Georgia and couldn't stay healthy and couldn't stay on the field. And there's a reason Georgia hasn't had a 1,000-yard receiver since – I think 2003. Palmer's a guy that I really believe can push the arcs of a 1,000-yard season, go for 130, 140 targets in this offense that we don't expect to throw a ton, maybe 400, 430 times, but Palmer can be that alpha in this offense at least in 2024 until they figure out, you know, probably a year from now that they need to go out and get like a Tet McMillan or something like that. But Josh Palmer going off right now, like I said, anywhere between the 10th and like the 14th round, depending on platform, is one of the better late round picks I could possibly think of in 2024.
What's up to everybody in the chat, man? It's so good to see you guys like Snowman and Kipsey. Kipsey's asking, wasn't McConkey the dude fielding punts while holding? Yeah, dude, that's a practice trick of his, man. We saw him do that at the Senior Bowl too. How many balls can he hold at the same time while still catching these? I think he got up to six or something.
He's crazy. I think it was six. Yep.
Yep. We got Harry Snowman. He's been dropping some good info here and some quotes that you guys can go back in the chat and go look at. It feels like he kind of feels like it's a little bit of a split backfield with Kyron. Look, man, we're going to get back to testing these sheets, man, right after the show is over. I was even telling Cody, like, it's thanks to Cody that we even had a show. I was just like, man, like, it's more important to get these cheat sheets updated. Cody's like, no, man, like, the pod's important too. People like it. I was like, all right, we can get on and do it. We got to get right on that. So we're going to get right back on the cheat sheets and make sure that they're updated. But all of it was tested really well last night, and we'll test it again today, and they'll be good for drafts tonight. Brad McCoy, I guess that's Colt McCoy's father. I'm not sure it's that. Brad McCoy.
that was showing truth right there for about 3 seconds.
Would you guys trade Jameson Williams and Goddard for Ferguson? No, I would not. I don't want to get rid of JMO right now. I thought there was another question from somebody. I guess
Alec took JMO in the draft the other night.
Yeah, I did. That's a tough dude. It's so tough, trash man, to draft in a league where everybody's using the cheat sheet against you. It's brutal. It's our home league, and every dude in that league uses our cheat sheet. So it's a rough deal. I did manage to reach to get JMO. Trash man, who was your late round pick?
Dyami Brown.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, running is arguably the number two in Washington. I mean, Olamide Zaccheaus is there, but I see him more as a gadget type player. You know, I don't see him as a chain mover like I do Brown. Brown has been there a few years, you know, but he just really hasn't had the clear path to targets like he does now, you know, directly behind Terry McLaurin there in Washington. I mean, and his ADP right now is like 308. I mean, you can get him literally at the last pick of your draft.
Yeah, well, you certainly wouldn't want to take him earlier than that. You wouldn't want to – let's not be reaching for him. But I
don't know if anybody has caught more footballs this offseason than Dyami Brown.
Except for Chuba Hubbard. He stays 2 hours after every practice trying to work on those breaking. Well,
so this is an interesting one. So how long do you think it takes to catch 500 footballs?
I think they'd probably come out. I mean, I've seen those I mean, somebody's got to put them in. I think you're probably one every 3 seconds. Or also, something.
Is that believable? Do you think Dyami Brown? He told us that like he was adamant that he got 500 footballs every single day since January.
I think it probably takes 45 minutes.
8 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes. I think 10 minutes.
To catch how many again?
500.
I would say no, because I think you probably do about, I think it's probably, no. Okay, so I think it's about 20 a minute. So I think it's 25 minutes.
Is that mathin'?
Yeah, man. All right. Let's see here. Somebody was asking about Jerome Ford, whether or not he's been addressed. Jerome Ford has been addressed in the sheets. So, and Kyren has been addressed. I was just wondering if we should address it further. We've gotten questions today about it. That's the only reason I was asking about it. And it's also because the cheat sheet is the only thing that I think about right now. So it's like, It just is what it is. What's been the priority ranking of handcuffs so far? Somebody asks.
I think this is a really good question. In totality of going into the season, I know Trashman does a piece up on Roster Watch probably the next couple of weeks where you talk about how'd you do that last
hierarchies.
Year? The hierarchies. There you go. Any initial thoughts on ranking of handcuffs and like best handcuffs?
Lake Quorum is pretty high.
Yeah.
Can I ask a Trey Benson question then? Because we talked about him a couple weeks ago on the pod, and there was obviously news about Michael Carter, and there was not great news about Trey Benson. Carter gets cut yesterday. D. Mercado on the roster. DJ Dallas on the roster.
Benson should be a good handcuff, man.
You know, it's funny because like at the practice that I saw, I didn't see, in 11 on 11s, I didn't see Benson go out there at all. I don't know why they held him back. Maybe they held him back because they were trying to save him.
Here are the key handcuffs. Here are the key handcuffs for guys that are true handcuffs that have very little standalone value. Okay. That would be
pure handcuffs. Okay.
That would be Jalen Wright, Braylon Allen, Blake Corum, especially. And he could have a little bit of standalone value. That's why he's going earlier than the rest. Trey Benson, I don't see. Yeah, Jordan Mason feels like a pure handcuff right now.
Is it J.K. Dobbins?
I don't know. I feel like he could have standalone value. Ray Davis probably won't have that much standalone value, but he would rock it up if anything happened to James Cook. Audric Estime is a good handcuff for Javonte Williams, and then Tyrone Tracy Jr. probably a good handcuff for Devin Singletary, but I think he would split work with Eric Gray. I think that he would be I believe Tracy would be the 1A.
What about Lauby?
He feels like he's going to be – I think that Lauby's going to have standalone value as a satellite back anyway. And if anything were to happen to Zamir White, that we see Alexander Mattison as more of the pure handcuff. Yeah. But I'm not interested in that Zamir White role anyway. Like, what do you want? Like, I want a guy that doesn't catch passes and is between the tackles, you know. Between the tackles, runner, first and second out runner for a team that's never going to be front running.
Do you think Julius Chestnut? Okay, this is going to sound cognitive. Listen, I get it. Julius Chestnut's the only other running back on that roster, and he's 220 pounds. And Spears and Pollard haven't exactly been the healthiest players in football. I'm just asking the question. Like it's gross. I get that.
So they cut Haskins.
Yeah.
I didn't see.
Maybe Jordan Mason, Jamal Williams.
Jamal Williams is terrible now, man. Kendre will be back. They're saying that until Kendre gets back, they're probably just have Taysom Hill that's how bad Jamal Williams stinks these days. I think that's the good question. Did Byron go to Denver? Did he stop
at Denver? Yeah, he got sick.
He caught COVID. No, he was supposed to go to Denver, but I guess that's a weird strain this time or something, man. It actually for once actually kind of shut him down a little bit, so he couldn't make it. Let's see, what's a cheat sheet? Where do I get one? It's the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com. It's a sheet of paper, an online tool that tells you who to draft at each pick. You just have to tell it who's been taken, and it'll inform you who to draft at each pick. And if you follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper, an expert quality draft is guaranteed. We're very proud to say that as of this year, over 1 million all-time downloads of the cheat sheet, which can you believe that, Trash Man? We started this company out of nothing. It's just so wild, man. 1 million people have used that thing.
I wonder how many of it are guys in our own home league. How many is West?
Oh God. Well, they've been using it for 12. They've been using it since it's been around. I guess we didn't start selling it till 2016 or so.
It hurts to watch it. It hurts to use it while you're drafting there because you're just seeing the player just like that you're about to take. Just go.
You could play in that league with us on Monday, Trash Man.
Is it happening?
I think at least it's a super super home league kind of thing without too many sharks. Yeah,
I just shipped out a DM to somebody to try to get them to be the 12th.
Yeah.
Are you in it, Cody?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're having to reconfigure one of our old.
I think we should keep captains though.
We can talk about it later, man. These listeners don't care.
Listeners love it.
So
do you have any late round guys, Alex, that you've been like, you know, you got to make a stance on a guy. Who's your stance?
Well, I mean, here's the thing is you can get Jaden Daniels in the 12th or 13th round of these drafts. If you, I mean, just smash him and just make sure you take him. Just make sure that you take him. Brandon Cooks, I like taking him at the end of drafts. You can get him in the 13th round. He's going to be the pure number two there for those guys. I know that Jalen Tolbert's gotten some steam as the wide receiver three, but there's just, I mean, I worry about that a little bit. I think that Brandon Cooks is, from Byron's reporting at camp, he said it would be unconscionable for us not to take him late. I do like Palmer, Cody, and Trashman have somehow talked me into liking Romeo Doubs as some kind of 12th or 13th round pick. Jalen Wright. If there's one of these guys that's the handcuff that I can take super late, since I do get Achane a lot using the cheat sheet, I have sort of built it into where we get a good bit of Jalen Wright. But I do – the other reason is, you know, it's like Cody's argument against Achane, right? It's a boomer bust pick. If he gets hurt, or if Mostert gets hurt – and Mostert always gets hurt. I mean, people have forgotten that after he scores, you know, 30 million touchdowns last year. But he's always hurt. One of those guys gets hurt. Jalen Wright goes immediately into your flex. So that's another guy you could take sometimes 14th round, the last round before kickers and defenses.
Khalil Shakir, as much as I am not have been a hater of him in the past, just the potential for him being – leading the team in targets and catches. I mean, it's palpable.
I like that. I kind of like that. We didn't talk about Jerome Ford yet, did we? What you brought about Mostert, and Mostert's right next to Ford on the sheet. I know it's obviously a little bit different in ADP, and we're kind of projecting Ford's going to be the starter for the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, and
ninth, 10th round pick right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the way I've handled it, and again, I've built it in a way that I think is really good, where it's in a spot where I want to take Jameson Williams, and if I have Jameson Williams and Jerome Ford on the same line, and so if you feel like you need a wide receiver in that spot, you can take JMO. If you feel like you need a running back in that spot, you can take Ford. Now you won't get that decision every single time, but the way that it's built right now, in the test last night, I did come up with that decision, you know, pretty often. And it's pretty important, right there when you get to that round 10 ish, to start making sure that you're balanced. So that's kind of how I did it. The real question we had last night was, we're not going to tell you how it is on the cheat sheet. You got to go download it for yourself or go look at it for yourself if you're already a pro member. And thanks to you if you are, but Trashman, I'd like to hear from you, 'cause I've already heard from Cody and Byron via maniacal texting back and forth. Rank these three players: Gus Edwards, Chase Brown, Jerome Ford, after Deontay Foreman is cut.
I'd start the season, I'd say Edwards, Ford, Brown.